Thank you so much for being here. As you can tell, we've got the elements of the Lord's Supper set before us, and we will enjoy this meal together at the end of our service. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 18 this morning, making our way through the entire Bible. So I was thinking the other day about difficult jobs when you're a spokesperson, and I realized that one of the most difficult jobs must be the press secretary for the president. I mean, can you imagine this job? Every week you got to go and stand before a hostile crowd and you got to deliver news from the president, not knowing whether the news is going to be good or bad and how it's going to be received. And of course, then you've got all the criticism and questioning and attacks. This must be a really difficult job. It's difficult to be a spokesperson, and it's really difficult to be the spokesperson for the president. It's difficult to be the spokesperson for a family. So in our family, my wife is the designated spokeswoman, because if there's ever a situation where all the family needs to tell me something, like they think I need to know, it could be some, you know, difficult news or some bad news, they always go to Kay and they say, okay, Mom, you got to tell Dad this. And she's the spokeswoman. And she has this sort of routine that she approaches me with, and she goes, okay, and I've heard this many times in our family's life, she goes, don't kill the messenger. That's how she sets it up. And then she delivers the news to me. It's difficult to be the spokesperson for a family. As a pastor, I have to be the spokesperson for the church. And over many years of doing this, there are times when it's difficult. The Bible gives us hard sayings on difficult news. Sometimes, you know, we have to move in a certain direction that can be a bit countercultural and not always, as I have led and shared from the Word, has it been received well. It can be difficult to be the spokesperson for a church. Well, the Old Testament prophets were spokesmen for God. They had a most difficult position. They were the ones that stood between a holy God and sinful men. They had to speak for God, and they had to do that to often rebellious and unruly people. Many of the Old Testament prophets were rejected. What they had to share was refused, and many of the Old Testament prophets, they were persecuted, some imprisoned, some were even killed for simply being God's voice to the people. It's very difficult to be a prophet. And of all the prophets that really spoke for God and stood on behalf of God too, in individuals, I think of the prophet Moses. Man, what a tough job he had, being God's voice to a rebellious and an unruly nation. Moses had a very difficult position. It's hard to be the spokesperson for God. And what Moses realized at the end of his life is that as effective as he was as a prophet, he still fell short. And there needed to be another prophet who would come, but a greater prophet than he was. And that prophet is Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus the spokesperson for God, he is the very Word of God. And because of that, it is Christ's truth that we must listen to and obey. Now, spokesmen have difficult jobs because often they have to tell the truth to people who may not want to hear it. And I think the question we have to ask today is, how willing are you to hear the truth? Not just some of it, but all of it. And how open are you to hearing all of God's truth? And then in hearing it, are you willing to believe it and to obey? This morning we look at the book of Deuteronomy, and if the book of Deuteronomy teaches us anything, it tells us that Jesus Christ is our great prophet, our spokesperson from God. and that we must listen with obedient hearts to everything that he says. He's the greater prophet than Moses. He is the one who speaks for God. And when Christ speaks as our great prophet, we must listen. And we must listen with obedient hearts and then obey. We're making our way through the entire Bible this year as a church. And the Bible is a story about our quest for redemption, and Jesus Christ is the hero of the story. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has overcome every single obstacle that has been in our way so that we might have a right relationship with God. And in this amazing story where Christ is at the center, God makes promises to us, and those promises are called covenants, agreements that God makes. And at the center of every covenant is Jesus Christ. And you see, our task, our goal this year is to make Jesus Christ the center of everything. And when we make Jesus the center of our lives, then everything begins to change. It is then that we begin to replace fear with faith, and we replace doubt with obedience. When you make Jesus the center of your life is transformed, because it's no longer you there in the center, but Christ. And Christ becomes our all in all. And as we've been thinking about this, putting Christ at the center, we see in the book of Genesis where Jesus, he comes to us as our great provider. In the book of Exodus, Jesus is our great protector. In the book of Leviticus, Jesus, he comes to us as our atoning sacrifice. And last week you heard from Pastor Clint that in the book of Numbers, Jesus, he is our life. Today in Deuteronomy, we're going to see Jesus as our great prophet, the one who speaks to us from God himself. The book of Deuteronomy is the last book of the books of the law. We call these books the Torah. Now, the word Deuteronomy simply means second law. And so in Deuteronomy, what Moses is doing is he's simply retelling the history of Israel, and he's rehearsing to them the law that's been given to them once again. And the reason why is because the children of Israel now find themselves encamped right across the River Jordan from the Promised Land. Canaan is in front of them. Their long journey has been completed. And what Moses wants to do is he wants to remind Israel of everything that God has done for them and who he is, to retell again the law so that they would have something to believe in and something to obey. And it's important for Moses, you see, because as Moses is writing these books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, he knows that he's not going to cross the river over with Israel. He's not been allowed to go. And so Moses realizes that he needs to tell Israel so that they'll never forget. Tell them about God's creation and then about God's covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the book of Genesis. To tell them again the story of Joseph and how Israel found itself as slaves to Egypt for 400 years. And then how he himself, Moses, was called to be Israel's prophet and messenger. And how the Lord met Moses while he was a sojourner and sent him back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out through the Red Sea, enjoying their redemption all the way to Sinai, where they received the law, and having the law now, knowing how to worship God and building the tabernacle so that they could make the appropriate sacrifices. And Moses tells the story of how now the people of Israel had been redeemed and met God and had the appropriate sacrifices so they knew how to worship. And they made their way up to the Promised Land, and Moses sent the spies into Canaan to inspect the land. And the spies came back and they said, "Oh, it is good. Everything that the Lord said about Canaan is true. It is a land flowing of milk and honey. It truly is a promised land. But we're not going in there, Moses. We refuse. And out of fear of the people, rather than fear of the Lord, they turned their backs on the promised land, and God was so disappointed with them. And he wanted to simply rid them and remove them. And Moses, being the mediator, he did what he had done so many times before, and he went to the Lord and he pleaded mercy upon these stubborn and rebellious people. And so the Lord said, fine. But these people now have to wander in circles in the wilderness for 40 years until they all die. And I'll let their children and the children of their children cross into the land that I had promised them. Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel through the Red Sea. And now 120 years old, there he is up on a mountain. And as he looks around, he sees a million plus Israelites all there living in tents, right there, nestled beside the Jordan River. All they have to do is cross over and enter into the land. And as Moses looked and he saw all these people that he had led for that many years, he was reminded that he could not go. It's hard for me to read. Being a spokesperson is a difficult thing. Sometimes people don't want to hear what you believe God is telling them. And Moses had to deal with this time and time again. But there was one incident, you see, one incident where Moses, he sinned against the Lord. And he struck out against God. It was a time as the children of Israel were now wandering in the wilderness, and Miriam had just died. And there they were encamped at Kadesh near the waters of Meribah. And the people again were just complaining, as they so often did. And they complained to Moses and they said, why have you brought us out here to die? There's not enough water for all of these people. Moses, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We had it so much better there. And once again, Moses found himself going to the Lord and pleading on the behalf of a complaining people. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the waters, find the rock, and speak to it. And Moses, I will provide the life-giving water that the people need. Just go, Moses. And so Moses did. He went to the waters of Meribah, and he had that staff that he had been given, that staff that indicated the power and the presence and the provision of the Lord. And he went to the rock there at Meribah, but rather than speaking to the rock, Moses, in anger, he struck it. And he struck it again. And in doing so, he was striking God. And he was striking Christ. And the waters came out so the people would be saved, but Moses yelled at the people. And he declared them to be rebellious. And it was soon after that the Lord met with Moses, and he said, Moses, what you've done now is going to be the thing that prohibits you from entering into my land. And the Apostle Paul, he records this, you see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's writing to a stubborn and a rebellious church, the church at Corinth. If there was ever a church that modeled the rebellious hearts of Israel, it was Corinth. Always fighting and dealing with their pride and struggling with unity. And Paul writes to this church and he says, church, Stop being like Israel. Everything that happened to Moses and the children of Israel have been given to us as an example so that we would not be like them. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and they all ate of the same spiritual food and they all drank of the same spiritual drink for they were all drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, Paul says, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave the evil things as they craved. And Moses said, you people, the Lord now is angry at me because of you. And the great prophet was not able to finish the journey. He, like all of us, fell short of God's glory. He wasn't able to enter. And so, Moses wrote 5 books so that the children of Israel would have the record of God and his covenant and his desire to be the God of the people and for the people to obey. And as he was writing the books, he ends with Deuteronomy. And right there in the middle of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, he says to Israel, you need a greater prophet than me. I've been your spokesman. But you actually need a spokesman greater than I. And this prophet, he's going to be not just a greater prophet than me, but he's also going to be your great high priest and your king. That's Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king. And what Moses was doing in Deuteronomy is he was making Jesus Christ central to this book. So where do we see Jesus in Deuteronomy? Well, he's everywhere. We see Jesus in the covenant that God made with his people. And we see Jesus at the center of the law because Jesus is the one who said, I haven't come to get rid of the law, I've come to fulfill it. We see Jesus, it's interesting, as Moses is writing in Deuteronomy and he says, when you get into the promised land, there's going to be certain cities that I want you to set up, cities of refuge, where sinners can flee to find mercy rather than death. And in those cities of refuge, the place where the sinner flees, knowing they have sinned, but wanting mercy, they go to the city of refuge. Christ is seen in all of the great sacrifices, in all of the festivals and the feasts, at Passover, at booths, at the Feast of Weeks. Christ is seen, as Moses is describing, when you enter into the land, you're going to want a king. And Christ is seen as the greater king. And Moses tells Israel, when you get to the promised land, you're going to face a lot of temptations. You're going to need to overcome those temptations. And Christ is seen as the one who overcomes temptations. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus who quoted from the book of Deuteronomy when he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and faced the devil. 3 times he quoted from the law, so that Satan would know he is one who listens and obeys. In the New Testament, from the Gospels and all of the epistles, there is no book that's quoted more than Deuteronomy, because in this book we see what God has for us to know him and to know our need for a Savior. Yes, Jesus, he is the great prophet, and I believe that there's no passage that reveals Christ more importantly than in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And as Moses writes this, he says, the Lord your God will raise you up a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. Moses was a great prophet and an important spokesman for God, but Moses realized that Israel, that the children of God, that they were going to need someone greater than he. And so Moses, he foreshadows and he predicts the coming of the great prophet, whom we know as Jesus Christ. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, Moses said. And he will come like me. He'll be from among you, which means he has to come from the clans of Israel, from your own country and from your countrymen. He will come. And when he comes, you must listen to him. When the prophet speaks, the people are supposed to listen. Because this prophet is not speaking their own words. He is speaking the words of God. I'm reminded when Jesus gave the great Sermon on the Mount, at the end, in Matthew chapter 7, it says when Jesus finished speaking to them, the crowd was amazed because he did not teach like others who taught. No, he taught as one who had authority. That's the prophet. He speaks with authority. And when he speaks with authority, we must listen and we must obey. And so Moses, he predicts the coming of this greater prophet. And then he reminds Israel, by the way, Israel, you wanted this. You are the ones that had asked for a prophet, a spokesman. And he recalls on that incredible day, Moses had led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And they had found themselves there at Mount Horeb, the same place where Moses had met the Lord at a burning bush many, many years ago. And there they are again, but now with the entire nation of Israel. And the Lord said, I'm about to reveal myself to you, and I need you to come meet with me so that I can give you the law. And there on Mount Horeb, there at Sinai, the glory of the God fell, and fire fell down, and there was thunder and the earth shook to the point where the children of Israel, they were absolutely terrified. And they didn't want to approach the mountain for fear that they would die. And so they all decided, let's get Moses to go for us. He'll go up the mountain. Let Moses meet with God. And so they said to Moses, Moses, we're too afraid. We can't approach the mountain. And so we're asking, would you be our spokesman? Would you be our prophet? Would you go up the mountain and meet with the Lord? And then come back down and you tell us everything the Lord says. And Moses, by the way, whatever the Lord says, we will obey. Yeah, right. But nonetheless, they pleaded with Moses. Verse 16, Moses said, you ask for a prophet. And that's exactly what the Lord gave. It's according to all that you asked of the Lord your God on Horeb on that day of the assembling. When you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. I can't see this great fire anymore, or I will die. They wanted a mediator. They wanted someone who would stand in the presence of God's glory for them. And so they appointed Moses. And when Moses came back down from the mountain, his face shone like the sun with the very glory and the radiance of God. But even Moses, being a mere man, could not withstand the full presence of God's glory. Remember when Moses asked to see the Lord's face and the Lord said, Moses, that would be much too powerful for you. I'll reveal to you just a little bit of me, just glaze in my back for a moment. You'll get a glimpse of my glory, just a glimpse, Moses. But that's all it took. When Moses came down, he was shining like the sun. And the people were terrified to the point where if Moses was going to speak to the people on behalf of God, he put a veil over his head so that he could approach the people. But as time went on, the glory began to fade. Year after year of wandering in the wilderness, the glory began to fade. To the point where the Apostle Paul records in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that the reason why Moses would veil his face at the end of his ministry is because the glory was fading and he didn't want the people to know. And yet, how much more do we, with unveiled hearts, are able to approach the living God? Moses knew he was a prophet of God, but he also knew that there needed to be a prophet greater than himself. A prophet who could not only speak for God, but could actually stand in the very presence of God, face to face, a prophet that would never have the unfading glory that he exposed, but rather the unfading glory of God. And what Moses was seeing was the coming of Jesus Christ. And so Moses, he says to the people, as he recalls this incident, the Lord telling him, it's good that they have said this to me. And so Moses, again, he says, I've been your prophet, but you need a prophet greater. In verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among you, from among their countrymen, and he will be like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. A greater mediator, a greater spokesman, a greater advocate would come. And with the coming of Christ, we see so clearly how Jesus in his life, in his ministry, aligns with Moses. Moses the prophet, Jesus the greater prophet. You know, like Moses, Jesus was born in a troubled time. Both Moses and Jesus they attempted to kill them as infant males. Like Moses, Jesus, he had to flee from Egypt. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Both Moses and Jesus were condemned by tyrant kings. Both Moses and Jesus, they found themselves speaking to God's people, but the people were rebellious and rejected what they had to say. Moses escaped stoning after speaking the words of God, like Jesus. And the sea obeyed Moses, but the sea also obeyed Jesus. Both Moses and Jesus were willing to meet with God. Moses up on Sinai, Mount Horeb. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And if you recall, when Jesus went up the mount and was transfigured, he met with Moses. He had a conversation with him. I really wonder what Moses said to Jesus. I can only imagine it was something like, well, you know, I wrote about you. You're the one. You're the greater prophet. Moses experienced resurrection as he led the children of Israel out from the grave of the Red Sea. And Jesus experienced resurrection when he left that tomb and became glorified. And now he exists as our great prophet and priest and king. And you see, when we see Jesus, we just need to understand he is the greater Moses. And what is so fascinating is that even the people of Jesus' time, they recognized that. And yet they still didn't want to listen. You see, there was a time like Moses when the children of Israel were hungry. And so Jesus, he gathered a few loaves of bread and he multiplied it. And like Moses, when he cried out to the Lord and bread came down from heaven to feed the multitudes, Jesus fed the multitudes. And after they had eaten, it was the people who said to God about Jesus. John 6, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This truly is the prophet who has come into the world." This is the one Moses told us about. And yet, still, they refused to listen. You see, if there's one thing that Jesus said over and over and over, it was, "Listen to me. Listen to me. If you have ears to hear, you need to hear. Truly, truly, I say to you," he would say. And even in maybe his most dramatic plea for the people to listen, in John chapter 12, here is Jesus, the prophet, the greater Moses, who declares these words, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I don't judge him. For I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." If you're not a Christian, I can't share anything more important with you. Jesus came not to be your judge, but your Savior. But if you reject his word, and if you reject him as being your Lord and Savior, that word will judge you on the great day. Please consider Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." I'm the spokesman. I'm the prophet. "But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus offers himself and everything that he has taught so that we might believe and know God. But how much of Jesus' truth are you willing to listen to and willing to obey? Let me pray with you. Father, we confess, as the scriptures do, that Jesus is our great prophet, priest, and king. He has come and given us your word, and now it is up to us to hear it and to believe it. May we commit ourselves to obeying everything that the Lord has said. And now, as our hearts turn towards this table, may we celebrate everything that Jesus has done for us on the cross. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.